Creative Coaching Podcast Number 1. Because I discovered a really easy way to make and upload podcasts, I started to brainstorm a list of possible titles, and the first one that came to mind was to record some ideas about what it means to be a creativity coach. Better perhaps to turn that around and say, what might having a creativity coach do for you? This sort of coaching is a part of what I do in my visual thinking classes, and at its simplest, it just means to affirm another individual's creativity. If someone already feels a certain creative confidence, one can go on to the next step, which is to push the level of creative thinking deeper. In the role of coach, I will often ask people what if questions. What if you had $100,000 for this project? What if you could take a 3-month sabbatical? In my class, we do a project where the students are asked to have an intense experience of the night or of darkness, and then create an artwork or presentation that conveys the feelings of what they saw. I ask them not to worry too much about having the perfect night experience. Afterwards, I have them brainstorm all the ways that they could produce an interesting presentation. I insist that they have at least 24 possibilities before choosing one to focus on. Often, our first solution to a problem isn't the best or most interesting, and our motivation to make something excellent grows if we are working on something that is new and challenging. I took a course from Eric Mazel, who's probably the guy who invented the idea of creativity coaching. That online course was taught in stages and was focused on unblocking one's own artistic creativity. Thinking in a way of approaching creative coaching developmentally in my own style, I would say the first step is to pose a good question. That is, to make sure you are working on only one topic, and one that you're somewhat stuck on, and one that matters to you. Of course, there's that whole issue about people thinking things should matter, or because they did matter once, they should still matter, and therefore part of getting in touch with the term to focus on is spending some time reflecting on the true conditions of your present life. The second step could be to talk a little bit about where and possibly how or why you got stuck in this issue, although I wouldn't want to spend a lot of time on that. Once the individual being coached has clearly stated the issue they'd like to focus on, it's time to dream a bit. Without getting into the doing or the how, I would ask them to flesh out and describe the ideal way that subject could change. For instance, an individual with an MFA painted seriously for 10 years, enjoyed what they did, showed in some galleries a bit, and then let it fall off due to concerns with simply surviving financially. And now this person is very interested in applying energy to art making. I would ask them to suspend their expectations of what might happen if they return to painting and instead to develop a complete and clear mental picture of what they would wish to have happen. So often people try and mix allegedly practical thinking with daydreaming about what they'd like to do and how they'd like their life to be. Maybe there is something about this artistic dream of painting again that will necessitate relocating or changing the amount of time they spend socializing or spending less time working out at the gym. This dream image should be suggestive but not verbally ambiguous. So many dreams are talked to death by sharing with too many people or the wrong people, or throwing out ideas without any real commitment to pursuing them. I like the idea of having people make a collage of different images related to their dreams, so the artist might be very focused on the building and the quality of light in the room that they're going to be painting in. And since an artist needs a creative sanctuary, the door that separates the private realm of work from all the daily, worldly, family concerns is a crucial element. I'll expand on this in my next podcast.